Tonight, the ABC News exclusive. For the first time, the teacher in that Uvalde Elementary School who survived, revealing what happened in that classroom. The teacher shot in the arm and back, describing the gunman. The interview with our Amy Robach. The teacher hearing the gunshots first in the hallway, telling the children to pretend they were asleep under their desks. The teacher saying the students could hear officers in the hallway, a child pleading with the officers to help them. There were 11 children in his classroom. None survived. The Amy Robach interview at Matt Gupman in Texas. Tonight, a suspect in custody at this hour after a mass shooting in Philadelphia, another mass shooting in Chattanooga, the deadliest weekend in factum shootings this year in this country. And tonight, the news coming in from Capitol Hill on those bipartisan efforts on gun safety. Rachel Scott with late reporting. The war in Ukraine tonight and Vladimir Putin's new warning to the U.S., James Longman in Ukraine. Tonight, just days now before the live primetime hearing on the January 6th attack. Tonight, the leader of the Proud Boys and four top lieutenants charged by the Justice Department with seditious conspiracy for allegedly organizing and leading the attack on the Capitol. Pierre Thomas is live. News on the retired judge killed in a targeted attack. Authorities now say there was a hit list with several other public figures on that list. Tonight, the results now in after that major vote on British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's future. News on the baby formula shortage here at home, a major development. Movement now in the right direction. The world, of course, celebrating 70 years of the Queen, and now the story behind the Queen and Paddington Bear. Bon Jovi tonight remembering a key member of his band. And America Strong, the brave veterans and what they told me as we mark the 78th anniversary of D-Day.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to start another week with all of you at home. And we begin tonight with the ABC News exclusive. For the first time, we hear from a teacher in one of those two classrooms in that Uvalde Elementary School, the teacher who survived the horror, telling our Amy Robach the moment he saw the gunman, how he told the children in his classroom to get under their desks to pretend they were asleep, and the child he heard pleading with the police that they could hear in the hallway to help them. Mr. Reyes was the teacher in room 111. They were watching a movie when the shooting broke out. The children asking him, what is that they hear? Law enforcement gathering outside, some in the hallways, that child asking police to help them. And of course, we know of at least two children from those two rooms calling 911, telling dispatchers to send help. There were 11 students in his classroom alone. None of them survived. And today, 9-year-old Ellie Garcia was laid to rest. She would have just turned 10. This account tonight from the teacher who survived is harrowing, it is difficult, and once again, it is a portrait of what those children were going through as they called for help. Tonight here, the Amy Robach interview and our Matt Gupman leading us off from Texas.
Guy with a rifle.
Tonight, for the first time, we're hearing chilling details from a teacher who was wounded but survived the carnage in room 111, one of those two adjacent classrooms at Robb Elementary. Arnolfo Reyes was watching a movie with his 11 students when the shots rang out, bullets hitting the building. He spoke with our Amy Robach.
The kids started asking out loud, Mr. Reyes, what is going on? And I said, I don't know what's going on, but let's go ahead and get under the table and act like you're asleep. As they were doing that, and I was gathering them under the table and told them to act like they were going to sleep, is about the time when I turned around and saw him standing there.
Almost immediately, the gunman opening fire. Two bullets hit Reyes, one through his arm and lung, another bullet in his back. He couldn't move. The shooter then turning that long gun on the students. They hear officers outside the classroom. Reyes says he heard a child in the next classroom pleading for police to help. By then, he thinks officers had retreated down the hallway.
One of the students from the next door classroom was saying, officer, we're in here. But they had already left. And then he got up from behind my desk, and he walked over there, and he shot over there again.
The gunman going back into room 112, firing more shots. The teacher says he then heard officers again telling the gunman through the door that they want him to come out to talk, that they don't want to hurt anybody. A minute later, silence, until Border Patrol finally breached the door. While that horror was unfolding, parents outside begging for police to save the children.
You know that they're kids, right? They're little kids. They don't know how to defend themselves.
And at least two students from those connected classrooms were calling 911.
Is there anybody inside of the building? Tyler is advising he is in the room full of victims at this moment. 8 to 9 children.
When it was over, 11 of Reyes' students were dead. And today, another victim laid to rest, 9-year-old Eliana Eli Garcia.
She was very happy and very outgoing. Loved to dance and sing and play sports. She was big into family, enjoyed being with the family.
The funerals continue tonight, and Matt joined us now, reporting from the scene again for us this evening. And Matt, this interview, the teacher talking with Amy, so powerful, obviously hearing about that child who was pleading with police that they could hear on the other side of the wall to help them. We also heard from this teacher, Mr. Reyes, something we reported before here, that police at one point tried to talk to the shooter.
Another survivor, David, just 10 years old, told us that she heard law enforcement come down the hallway, maybe up to the door, and ask the shooter to come out to put down his weapon, but that he refused. And that teacher telling us also that he had to play dead for 77 minutes. There were long periods of silence, ultimately punctuated by law enforcement bursting into that classroom and shooting dead that gunman. David.
All right, Matt Cupman leading us off here tonight. Matt, thank you. And of course, tomorrow morning on Good Morning America, much more from that teacher, Amolfo Reyes. His message to the police officers outside that classroom door and to the parents of his students. Amy's full interview on GMA. It's part of our reporting all day long tomorrow across all of our broadcasts and platforms. A closer look at guns in America. And tomorrow night here, our report on World News Tonight on AR-15 style weapons and how many states can you get them at just the age of 18? As authorities say that Texas shooter did the day after he turned 18 buying his weapon. And the debate, of course, why not raise the age from 18 to 21? This weekend, by the way, was the deadliest weekend in the U.S. from shootings this year alone. More than a dozen mass shootings this weekend in which four or more people were shot. At least 17 people were killed, 69 wounded this weekend alone. A suspect in custody tonight after a mass shooting in Philadelphia, three people dead, nearly a dozen shot and wounded. And in Chattanooga, three people were killed, 14 wounded. Tonight, there is news from Capitol Hill on these bipartisan talks for gun safety. Will lawmakers do anything this time? Tonight, the senator who says there could be news, movement on this by this week. Rachel Scott on the Hill.
Terror in the streets of Philadelphia. Crowds racing to escape gunfire. Three killed, 11 others shot and wounded. And tonight, late word, a suspect is under arrest. Part of a spasm of gun violence across the country. More than a dozen mass shootings this weekend alone.
Multiple shots fired, multiple vehicles fleeing the scene.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee, 14 shot, three killed after authorities say multiple shooters opened fire at a nightclub early Sunday. Back in Washington, growing momentum on Capitol Hill to reach a deal on gun reform.
Will you reach a deal by the end of the week?
My goal is to reach an agreement by the end of the week. We've got more Republicans and Democrats sitting together than ever before since Sandy Hook. What we're talking about is substantial. It will save lives. Well, I'm certainly prepared to fail. I'm more hopeful for success than ever before.
A bipartisan group of senators is under pressure to reach a compromise by the end of the week. On the table, strengthening background checks, incentives for states to enact red flag laws, funding for school security and mental health. President Biden was hoping lawmakers would go even further and bring back the assault weapons ban, or at the very least, raise the purchasing age from 18 to 21, which has the support of many Democrats, including Senator Joe Manchin.
We know the two things that would have stopped this one, if the age was at 21, and also if there was red flag laws.
But the vast majority of Republicans say that's a non-starter.
Would you support that?
Not likely.
Tonight, Republican Senator John Cornyn, that Texas senator who was on the scene the day after the shooting in Uvalde, calling for targeted reform.
I will not settle on inadequate or downright harmful legislation for the sake of doing something. We can agree something needs to be done, but what that something is much harder to achieve. And so targeted reforms, I think, is the way to get to where we need to go.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul today signed a slew of gun control bills into law, including a ban on sales of semi-automatic rifles to anyone under the age of 21. That type of law might have stopped the 18-year-old suspects in both the Buffalo and Uvalde mass shootings from legally purchasing AR-15-style rifles.
Well, that point you make, Rachel, is the source of so much debate there in Washington. Rachel Scott with us from The Hill tonight. And as Rachel just reported, in New York State today, gun safety reform, these were the images, New York Governor Kathy Hochul signing several bills into law, including, as you heard Rachel report there, raising the age to purchase assault rifles from 18 to 21. And Rachel, I guess the question is, as this country waits and watches, will lawmakers in Washington, what will they do, if anything? Is there any movement in the meantime from other states other than New York State tonight?
Well, David, some states are not waiting for Congress to act. The Democratic governors in New Jersey and Delaware are urging their state lawmakers to also raise the legal age limit to purchase a semi-automatic rifle from 18 to 21. But I could tell you on a federal level, I talked to many Republicans today who told me they are just not on board with that. As for these bipartisan discussions, I'm told that that group of senators will be meeting again tonight in hopes of striking a deal, David.
I know you're going to stay on this all week for us, Rachel. Thank you. In the meantime, overseas tonight into the war in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin issuing a new warning to the U.S. after the U.S. and U.K. promised new rocket systems to Ukraine that can strike targets 50 miles away. ABC's James Longman in Ukraine tonight.
Tonight, Britain joining the U.S. in sending new medium-range weapon systems to Ukraine. Vladimir Putin warning that if even longer-range missiles are shipped from the West, Moscow will retaliate by hitting targets, quote, that we have not yet struck. Kyiv targeted just hours after that threat was broadcast, the first strike on the capital in weeks. And Ukraine claiming a significant shift in the East, saying they've mounted a successful counterattack near Severodonetsk. Russia pushed to the eastern outskirts of the city, but the battle is still raging. The fight here is so fierce because it's the last major city not under Russian occupation in this part of the Donbass, and so strategically important for Ukraine that President Zelensky made a risky visit to frontline troops there to thank them for their service and sacrifice.
The U.S., David, is intensifying its efforts to punish Vladimir Putin and his supporters. U.S. prosecutors are now moving to seize two planes thought to belong to powerful Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich. One of them, a Boeing 787 in Dubai, thought to be worth $350 million. David?
Our foreign correspondent James Longman back in Ukraine for us. James, thank you. In the meantime, back here at home tonight, into the new and chilling details after authorities say a retired Wisconsin judge was targeted and killed. ABC News has now learned the alleged gunman had once appeared in the judge's courtroom, and authorities now say the suspect had a hit list in his car, including several other public figures. Here's ABC's Alex Perez tonight.
Tonight, we're learning more about the link between a retired Wisconsin judge and his alleged killer.
This is such a horrific crime. This is a targeted attack on a public official and a judge.
The state's attorney general saying the man suspected of killing Judge John Romer in his home early Friday morning targeted multiple people, including the judge.
This act appears to have been related to the judicial process.
An ABC News review of Wisconsin court records found in 2005, 56-year-old Douglas Udy pleaded no contest to armed burglary. Judge Romer sentenced him to 6 years in state prison. Udy now in critical condition after allegedly turning the gun on himself. Others reportedly on his hit list, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Senator Mitch McConnell, and Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers.
It makes me feel ill that somebody that devoted his life or a good share of his life being a jurist in the state, you know, in rural Wisconsin, and that's hard work to be targeted like that. It makes me, frankly, sick to my stomach.
Today, the Wisconsin Attorney General calling for more protection for judges and public officials, a cause taken up by U.S. District Court Judge Esther Salas of New Jersey, whose son was killed and husband shot when a man targeting her posed as a delivery person to gain access to her home. Salas has been trying to get a bill protecting judges' security through Congress.
Judges are being assassinated, and it is time now that we say enough is enough.
And David, in all, authorities say there were 13 people on Udy's hit list. The exact motive remains under investigation, but officials say they do not believe there's an active ongoing threat. David?
All right, Alex Perez tonight. Thank you, Alex. Tonight, we are just days now from the live primetime hearing before the nation on the January 6th attack. That's Thursday night. The committee expected to begin to reveal their findings to the country. And tonight, separately from the Justice Department now, five members of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, have now been indicted for seditious conspiracy in connection with the Capitol riot. Let's bring in our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas. He's live in Washington tonight. And Pierre, I know these men were already facing conspiracy charges.
Yes, they were, David. But now Enrique Tarrio, the leader of the Proud Boys and other members of the far-right group, are being accused of sedition, of plotting to violently overthrow the government in an effort to keep former President Trump in office by any means necessary. In the days and weeks leading up to the January 6th attack, the FBI says the Proud Boys were secretly planning how to attack and occupy the Capitol and other buildings in Washington. And authorities say perhaps no act symbolizes the violent conspiracy better than Dominic Pozzola allegedly smashing a window at the U.S. Capitol, allowing that mob to get inside. The FBI claims the Proud Boys helped ignite the violence that overran the police. David.
All right, Pierre Thomas in Washington. Pierre, thank you. And ABC News will carry the first primetime hearing from the House Select Committee live on Thursday night. Attack on the Capitol, the investigation revealed before the American people. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night, right here on ABC. In the meantime, more news this evening. And from London tonight, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson surviving that no-confidence vote barely from members of his own party. Johnson was booed, by the way, as he arrived for the Queen's Jubilee service after a series of scandals, including revelations that he partied with his staff during the height of COVID when the rest of the country was in lockdown. Johnson keeping his job today, but weakened by the challenge, still calling it a convincing result in his words and saying it is time for the country to now move on. When we come back on this busy Monday night, news this evening on the baby formula shortage across the U.S., this is a major development. There is movement tonight. And on the 78th anniversary of D-Day, the brave veterans, and we always remember what they told me.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, tonight there is news of possible relief finally in sight in the nationwide baby formula shortage. The Biden administration saying three massive shipments from overseas will now begin arriving on Thursday. Nearly 10 million bottles of formula heading to store shelves within weeks. Abbott also resuming production at its plant in Michigan. The company says specialized formulas should be available around June 20th. That's about 2 weeks' time as it works to increase overall production back to full capacity. We learned today that musician Alec John has died. He played bass and was a founding member of the band from 1983 to 1994. John Bon Jovi saying he was integral to forming the group, always wild and full of life. Alec John Such was 70. We're learning more about one of the best-kept secrets from Queen, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebration, the very cute video of tea time between Queen Elizabeth and Paddington Bear. Buckingham Palace saying reportedly even much of the royal family didn't know about the surprise until it was played for everyone.
Perhaps you would like a marmalade sandwich. I always keep one for emergencies.
So do I. I keep mine in here.
Oh.
For later.
Makes you smile. The palace says the queen is known for her sense of humor. She is, and that this was just too much fun to miss. Finally tonight here, America Strong, the 78th anniversary of D-Day. Tonight, the images from Normandy today, American veterans and those honoring them. The new generation honoring the heroes, the roses at sunrise. We have stayed in touch with the American heroes we journeyed with 3 years ago, World War II veterans going back to Normandy 75 years later, the strangers walking up to them just to say thank you. Ona Frio Zakari was so moved.
Thank you for everything you guys did.
Very good.
Sure.
Thank you. This whole beach, whole section, as far as the eye could see, was just men
coming ashore, coming ashore. Unbelievable.
Tonight, Nono and his family sharing with us new family photos, holding his great-grandson Dylan on his first birthday, telling us he hopes everyone stays healthy and reaches my age.
75 years later, just being back here.
This is stunning. It's beautiful.
And of course, we remember Harold Himmelsbach, raised in Yakima, Washington, and that letter he shared with me to his mother.
Dear Mom, I suppose I should begin this by telling you I am somewhere in France.
You were being careful because of the censors, and also careful because it was
right,
your mom.
Right, my mom, you know, mothers are sensitive too, see.
Tonight, Harold and his family sharing with us the letters he now receives after that story from families all over the world grateful. And Jack Claiborne from Dyersburg, Tennessee, a gunner on that day, there was the stranger who handed him flowers.
What did they say to you when they gave you the flowers?
Thank you. Thank you.
Tonight, Jack telling us, I just hope that they never forget this. It meant so much to so many people. I hope that we don't get in another war. I'd be too old to go, but if I had to, I would.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And you know that nonprofit group that helped the veterans return, Forever Young Veterans, already planning to return for the 80th anniversary. And Jack telling us, by the way, he plans to go with them. I don't doubt it. Good night.